Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by SeatGeek and the SeatGeek app. Get a $20 rebate on tickets by downloading the free SeatGeek app and enter the code INSTANCE. That's $20 off with the code INSTANCE from SeatGeek. And by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Right now, if you use the code FROGPANTS, you get a free 480GB SSD drive. That's 480 gigs of SSD you wouldn't have had otherwise. Go to doghousesystems.com right now and use the code FROGPANTS when you check out for your hot new gaming rig.
You're listening to The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 446. I'm Scott Johnson. I am joined today by Willie Dales Gregory, recently back home. Well, I shouldn't say home. Home is now where your heart or where your hearth is. But you were back in San Francisco. How was your trip?
No. I'm in Texas.
Yeah, you're in Texas now.
I went back to Texas.
Yeah. How'd it go? How was you have a good time? What happened there out there?
Yeah, it was a good time. I got to see a lot of people, play some golf, go to two Giants games, hang out with family.
Yeah,
all of it was good, except for when I got punched in the face. Yeah. That was bad.
We've heard tale of this. In fact, it was last week's show. I think it was breaking news when we were on the air. We're like, what? Dale's got punched. And anyway,
we were trying to like internet sleuth this and figure out exactly how everything went down.
Yeah.
There's no record of it on the internet, but essentially it was a person who apparently was unhappy with me when I wasn't aware that he was that unhappy with me.
One of those deals. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sucker punch from behind. I don't think it's ever happened before, actually, being sucker punched. But, you know, first time for everything.
Well, it's not one of those deals where you can say to people, you should see the other guy, right? Like, nothing really came of it.
No, I mean, yeah. He was like a bouncer, like a big guy at a bar.
Shit.
Yeah, he's actually dead now.
Can't see the other guy because it took him out.
You should see the other guy's awake.
There was no situation where I was going to then return fire.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
I'm just glad you're all right. That's the main thing.
Totally fine.
I heard that. I got nervous. I texted Jerry. I said, is everyone all right out there? He said, yeah, everyone's cool. I said, all right. We'll be able to sleep tonight. Yeah. Speaking of sleeping tonight, I don't know. There's no transition here. Garrett Weinzel back on the show. Second week in a row, man. What's going on? How are you?
Oh, you know, well, actually, speaking of sleeping tonight, I didn't do a whole lot of that last night.
Why is that? What are you doing up all night? What are you doing in the night that's making you stay up?
Oh, you know, listening to the lulling sounds of a chihuahua snoring.
Oh, that's not good. Nobody likes that. It's not really the ambient noise your doctor recommends for relaxation.
No, it's...
But it's good to have you both here. I got to make a quick comment or a note here about somebody so that my wife's friend's husband can freak out. Apparently, there's somebody named Alex who listens to the show, and my wife works out with his wife, and he doesn't believe that there's this connection, and I always think it's funny that anyone thinks this is cool. So I'm going to say, hey, Alex, what's up, man? There you go. It's true. We're the show you thought we were. So there you go. Enjoy that. Here's the news. Guys, we have a ton to talk about today. Some of it WoW related. I feel like I say this every week, but until we get that expansion, things are a little bit light. But there's stuff to talk about. I want to get this out of the way early because it doesn't affect me at all with my 400k gold or so. But the gold cap in Legion will be raised to 10 million gold. So thanks a lot, 1%. Screw the rest of us with our piddly amount of money, barely making it by. There's people out there with 10 million gold. Are either of you in the camp of having to, do you check into the game once in a while just to see how your money's doing?
I have never been one of these gold maxed players. There's been points where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. This is going to be the expansion where I'm loaded and I buy whatever the heck I want. But it never happens because then I get really bored really fast trying to play the auction house.
Dill, seems like you were always pretty good about, I don't know.
I mean, Yeah, but never to the point where the gold cap ever mattered to me. Yeah. And also, once I would have a good amount of gold, I would just buy something. So.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, like, when I was doing it, I'd have a goal in mind. It was like, I want that flying golem thing, or I want, you know, whatever.
I think the last time I really, really cared about it was, this is forever ago, was the friggin', the mount you could buy stuff with. That was it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. The
that's forever ago.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, what? I got everything I need.
That was ages ago.
Not even Pandaria. There was one of those in Lich King, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Mammoth.
Yeah, that was Lich King. Yeah, because I bought it in Dalaran.
Yeah, and you bought it. We all benefited from it or something. Like, I think you...
Well, yeah. I mean, you could repair at your mount and all that kind of stuff. And
it was super handy in Ulduar because there were a lot of places, like, especially in the beginning, you could mount because it was technically outside.
Yeah, so you basically click the little teleporter, go back there, you can mount up, and then everybody... And there's lots of places you could actually mount in Ulduar, but yeah. After that, and that was 16,000 because you also had to grind rep.
Mm.
And it started at 20K, but then you got a rep discount. That's really the last time I actually saved up money and cared.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like you just have money. Gold just... You just have it.
It's just there, sure.
To, like, buy stuff if you need it. Yeah. But I do know people who have gotten to the gold cap, and it was kind of like a weird number, which basically had to do with the integers that worked out, you know, based on the ones and zeros.
Yeah.
But now I guess what they've made it a nice round number.
Yeah, give us, you know, 10 million.
10 million gold.
I feel like you ought to go spend some of that. Like, it's just sitting there, people. If you've got that kind of gold, what are you doing with it? I guess you're paying for game time. You know.
I'm of the mind that I don't even understand hoarding money in real life, but I definitely don't understand hoarding gold in World of Warcraft.
Yes, or alliancing money, for that matter.
You don't take it with you, right?
So, no,
you know,
nope.
Just get the stuff you want.
Especially if you cancel your account. That gold stays right there, buddy. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. Anyway, that includes, by the way, anything in the guild bank, if you are the guild master, I guess. No, how does that work? That can't work that way. There's something. Oh, I know what it was. If you any money you have anywhere in the game, if it's part of the... I guess in the guild you can put some of your money in there, right? And if you...
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. I forget. It's been too long. But anyway, it's like 10 million total. If you hit the cap, you're screwed. Don't earn any more gold.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, everybody.
You're fine if you have 10 million. You're fine. You can't earn more gold, but you're fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I was about to say, I don't think that's really a problem.
Not really an issue for people.
There's nobody getting to 10 million like, I can't earn more. Oh,
I would like to transfer this to the Bank of Diablo. Thank you.
Do you think people are still doing, like, behind the scenes gold selling on servers like Earthen Ring, where if I had 10 million gold, I could, I mean, it wouldn't be, it's not terms of service, but couldn't I sell a bunch of gold to somebody for real money and try to not get in trouble for it?
And I mean, technically, there's nothing stopping you.
Well, you could just sell it
against
for...
It's against the EULA.
Yeah.
You could, but you, I mean, at this point, gold is literally game time now, right? So.
Right.
Sure.
And we haven't really addressed that whole token thing in a long time, but is anyone else doing that? Like, I guess some people are doing that. We know people in the guild, like Ro does that. He pays for the game every month that way.
Yeah, my old college roommate Mike, I don't think he has paid for World of Warcraft in like 8 months.
So knowing that, I mean, I feel like nobody's talked about this. There hasn't been a lot of talk from Blizzard about it, obviously, but nobody else seems to be talking about it either. I wonder if since the token was introduced and people could literally not pay real life money anymore for the game, we keep talking about how they're at half their population of, you know, 5 million players that are subscribed to the game. How many of those are this status, and therefore are they making less money than even we think they are at the sort of half population from where they were at their peak at 12? Like, no one ever brings that up anymore. And I don't know. I mean, there's no way to know because we don't know the numbers. We don't know how many people are actually paying with gold. But I assume that it's not enough to ding the bottom line too much, or they wouldn't do it.
I don't think so. It's got to be a fairly small percentage because it is something you have to work at. You know, you have to earn. It's quite a bit of gold you have to earn every single month.
Right.
And it's not just like, oh, I go out and do some dailies and I'm good to go. Yeah. It's, you know, it's literally taking some time to do it. So. Yeah.
And that step,
you know,
price.
Ro's a smart guy. Ro plays enough that he can do stuff like that.
Right.
If I were to do it, I would feel like I'm spending too much time on this and not on what I want to be doing in the game.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
That's exactly where my head is at as well.
Yeah.
I mean, my game time is limited. It's split across a lot of games, a lot of Blizzard games now. So when I get into World of Warcraft, I don't want to have this another like kind of artificial requirement that I feel is placed on me to keep up with gold so that I can keep my subscription rolling. I'd rather just pay the $15 a month.
Yeah, it's this value proposition, and I like that some people experiment with it and mess with it and and kind of game the system and find ways to make that easier for them. But it's not in my life now. I can't do that.
No, it's great though that it's an option now, and it's not, you know, something you have to go to some shady website to make happen. Because there was a time where you could do something like that, or you could be the shady party and be getting away with this. And now it's just all officially sanctioned, and that feels good. That feels right.
Sure. So in the meantime, go to scottjohnson.com and I'll get you some gold for $50. Just kidding. Don't do that. It's against the EULA.
sorry. I was just going to say, Chairman brings up a good point too. Someone has to buy that token in the first place to sell it, and they're $20. So
yeah,
Blizzard's still making their money plus an extra $5 for every one of those tokens that exists.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Do that.
Yeah, because the original value of the item that you have to purchase with the gold still had an original price, and it may get passed around and its value may change, but Blizzard still makes money. I hadn't really considered it that way. So maybe it doesn't matter what the percentages are, but you just don't hear anything about it. For a while, that was all there was to talk about with WoW. It was like, what's the token price at this week? It was like stock market stuff.
It was mind blowing because WoW was that last bastion of the successful subscription MMO. And the fact that they were giving you this option of playing for free using in-game currency, I mean, it was big news.
Did you have to say last bastion and make me feel sad that I don't have Overwatch anymore until the 5th? Did you have to say bastion in that sentence?
Yes, I did. I did. That was the entire thing. Or bringing up the indie game Bastion.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That game's all right, though. It's pretty good.
Which apparently the narrator of Bastion was the inspiration for the innkeeper in Hearthstone.
No way, really?
Yeah. Ben Broad brought it up in a tweet recently.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Should have had him do the voice. That would have been all right.
I'd have been into that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, Overwatch. We'll talk about that later. I'm having withdrawals, honestly. It's been a little rough. Let's see. Let's talk about these private servers again. Blizzard responded between the last time we spoke, and I'm going to read this whole thing because I think it's interesting. It came from J. Allen Brack, who put this in the forums. This is in response to all of the hullabaloo about Nostralis, or however you say it, being shut down. 150,000 players, apparently, now without their vanilla home. And a lot of people saying, well, it's because it had gotten so big, and we'd made comments in the show that, you know, Blizzard has to protect their IP. And at the same time, they have in the past made comments that, you know, people think they want classic stuff like this, but they really don't. And people take a lot of offense at that. Anyway, and I know we've all had some thoughts on this recently. Dills, you had a nice string of tweets yesterday. I'd love to discuss some of that. But I'll read this first and see what Blizzard's response has been. Says, we want to let you know, again, this is in the forums, that we've been closely following the Nostralis discussion. And we appreciate your constructive thoughts and suggestions. Our silence on this subject definitely doesn't reflect our level of engagement and passion around the topic. We hear you. Many of us across Blizzard and the WoW dev team have been passionate players ever since Classic WoW. In fact, personally, I work at Blizzard because of my love of Classic WoW. We have been discussing Classic servers for years. It's a topic every BlizzCon and and especially over the past few weeks. From active internal team discussions to after-hours meetings with leadership, this subject has been highly debated. Some of our current thoughts, why not just let Nostralis continue as it was? The honest answer is, a failure to protect our intellectual property and infringement would damage Blizzard's rights. This applies to anything that uses WoW's IP, including unofficial servers. And while we've looked into that possibility, there is not a clear legal path to protect Blizzard's IP and grant an operating license to a private server. There's probably a path, but when he says a clear path, he's probably right about that. Anyway, we explored options for developing classic servers, and none could be executed without great difficulty. If we could push a button, all this would be created, we would. However, there are tremendous operational challenges into integrating classic servers, not to mention the ongoing support of multiple live versions of every aspect of WoW. So what can we do to capture the nostalgia of when WoW first launched? Over the year, we have talked about a pristine realm, and this is the thing I want to talk about the most. This would turn off all leveling acceleration, including character transfers, heirloom gear, character boosts, recruit a friend bonuses, WoW tokens, etc., and access to cross-realm zones, as well as group finder. All that stuff would be turned off. We aren't sure whether this version is a clean version of a clean slate is something that you would appeal to the community, but it's still a topic for discussion. On another note, we recently have been in contact with the folks who operated the Nostralis server. They obviously care deeply about the game, and we look forward to more conversations with them in coming weeks. You, the Blizzard community, are the most dedicated, passionate players out there. We thank you for your constructive thoughts and suggestions. We are listening, Jay Allen Brack. All right. Nice big long response. They responded exactly kind of how I thought they would. Like, a lot of people think this is a simpler solution than it probably is. Everything's a lot more nuanced than people on the internet think it is. And I think he addressed that pretty well. But let's just talk about this idea of pristine realms. Does that solve the problem? And, for example, Dills, you had said yesterday, if there was a vanilla server that you could hop onto and check out, you totally would. But then you said, I don't know how long I'd hang around. And I think that's that's a really important point. So explain, explain what you mean there.
Well, there's a lot of, I've watched some of the videos that people have put out about this. And some of them are just, they're just rants, essentially, just crapping on Blizzard itself. Which is, to me, just an insane way to look at this whole situation. It's like someone gives you like ice cream and you wanted vanilla and they gave you vanilla cream and you're like, "Aah!" and you like rage at them. You're like, "Dude, you got ice cream, man. Like, you had WoW. Blizzard gave you WoW. It doesn't exist without them."
Right.
And you wouldn't have all these awesome memories if they didn't make the game that you thought was so awesome. And then to act like they somehow owe you the exact experience that you want, that you remember, is just, to me, like, kind of crazy. So I hope the discussion starts to evolve into a more constructive one after this response from Blizzard, because this response is really, really measured and really, really, like, they're coming at people saying, "We hear you, we get it, we're not ignoring this problem." And, if it's even a problem, I mean, look, it's a problem to some people, obviously. It's not a problem for a huge number of people that I think, the numbers don't bear out that it's like the entire player base would suddenly go up to like 10 million again or something if they had these servers. So I just want to like make sure that like the people who have these discussions need to start having them in realistic terms. Yeah. And yeah, I would play a vanilla server in between content stuff for a little bit of fun, things like if you could run classic AV again and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Those types of things might be really entertaining, but those would only be entertained to me in small doses. And I think a lot of people are the same, that they would be entertaining in small doses. They wouldn't be something where I would go grind characters out from 1 to 60 over and over and over again, buying my mount at 40 and then, grinding all of the raids and everything like that in 40-man raids. Ugh. I think a lot of people think that because it took so long, it was more content. It was just content that took longer to complete, right? And people remember it as being more content, but it wasn't more content. It just took longer to do the less content that you had at the time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I keep seeing this argument about how much there was to do. And it was really just, it just took a long time. The bars filled really slowly.
Yeah.
And
you grind
a lot. If you compare vanilla at launch to any of the expansions, I mean, yeah, you had two continents versus just about every expansion since is one, but I don't think that's a fair comparison because you're looking at expansions versus the base game. And base game should, in theory, be the single largest piece of content you ever see. That said, you're absolutely on the right track there, Bills. I mean, there's so much stuff to do in WoW now. I mean, if it really is. I don't think there is an argument that there's not enough content in WoW. I mean, you could play the whole game just like Pokemon. If all you wanted to do is just battle pets, there's a crap ton of content in there if you just want to battle pets.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like us and you're like dabbling in a lot of different things, which was what originally drew me to World of Warcraft, I don't necessarily think that has gone away.
It's interesting. There's a poll on MMO Champion asking if people would play vanilla servers if they were made, or pristine servers if they were made available. And pristine meaning the way J. Allen Brack broke down how these might work.
Yeah.
Pristine
is essentially the game as it exists now with its current systems.
Right.
But without all of the speed up bonuses that they've been giving over time, which is, the smaller amount of XP it takes to level at earlier levels. How mobs have changed and they're difficult. Like, they're basically talking about like tuning things back,
mm-hmm.
but not doing what I think people ultimately are complaining about, which is they literally just want vanilla WoW without everything else again. Yeah. That's what they want. Like, mm-hmm. they want to put in talent points one by one, and some talents take 5 points. Mm-hmm. You know, they want all that back, you know.
Yeah. And Blizzard's approach makes more sense to me if they ever did pristine service, because basically they're talking about a much lower barrier to entry as far as operational costs go. Because basically you're just saying, here's the current build of the game, turn off all the acceleration, turn off all the stuff that is not connected to the actual content of the game and the systems of the gameplay, and there's your pristine server. I think that's a reasonable idea, but I think that people, I'm already seeing people rebel against that idea. Like it's not what they want.
That's right. So I also want to point out that I totally understand what these people want. And I understand that they're not necessarily wrong for wanting it. They're just wrong in the way they're going about it. And it's turning a lot of people who would be supporting this idea off. And that's what happened to, like, I was looking into this. I was like, okay, I hear you guys. All you guys are talking about this. We talked about it on the show, coming from just the point of, okay, they shut the server down, having not been someone who played on the server, understood that community deeply. Mm-hmm. We just kind of talked about it from that point. And then people started talking more and more about it. And I was like, okay, there's clearly a community here. I should look into this. So I started checking out these videos. And, like, people are just shitting on Blizzard. That's what these videos are. And it really upsets me, because I'm like, yo, I'm a fan of World of Warcraft just as much as anybody out there. But I understand that Blizzard is the reason it even exists in the first damn place. So I don't understand this whole mentality of Blizzard sucks, Blizzard's terrible, your game is crap. Like, if you don't like the game now, that's fair. That is a totally fair assessment.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is you need to talk about why you want this and not why Blizzard sucks. And if you can do that, then you might get somewhere. And the fact that Blizzard's still even paying attention just speaks to how level-headed they're being right now.
Yeah. Well, it looks like that's happening. I mean, yeah, the most vitriolic of voices is going to sadly rise to the top just because of it's the loudest volume.
Yes.
But there's plenty of people who, you know, were in the inner workings at Nostalrius, or however the hell you pronounce it. I mean, they just tweeted, the Nostalrius Twitter account tweeted 2 hours ago that they're having a meeting with Blizzard on Blizzard campus. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
And Blizzard's never shut
themselves down to these sort of things. They've always been open to communicate and discuss. And it's so easy to put up an angry YouTube video without any context, without actually reaching out, without trying to make dialogue, and I'm with you, Dills. Just irritates the hell out of me, and it makes me sad.
We're not telling people, you know, don't be a voice of dissent. That is fine.
Don't be passionate. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Clearly, the people who are getting who are part of Nostalrius, who are getting a meeting with people at Blizzard on Blizzard campus, they are clearly not the people who are screaming into their webcam at the top of their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously people who are more level-headed.
They did something about it, right?
Like, yeah.
They wanted the game this way, and they actually did something. They put time in. They didn't just complain and wait for someone else to do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally would be really interested in something like this. But for I think everyone, it's for different reasons, right? We all have a different thing about World of Warcraft that we are nostalgic about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I missed out on 40-man raids. I started playing a vanilla, but I did not hit 60 until Burning Crusade launched, and I missed out on 40-man raids. I would love to go back and see that. And I could go do it now, but we're all overpowered and it would be a raffle stomp.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see it, like, in its natural, like, with the old talent system, with the gear that existed then.
Yep.
But hey, maybe with the graphics that exist now, because that game looked really busted, you know, back in the day.
It did. Yeah. If you went back and did it now, here's my prediction, though. You go back in there and you do a 40-man raid and you do it with all of the systems that existed then. You're going to come away going, well, not going to pay that per month, because that's kind of sucks now that I look back on it. Like, I'm telling you, the rose-colored glasses that people have for vanilla are rosy. And I don't want to diminish the fact that vanilla was a huge impactful thing. Like, when WoW came out, we were all blown away and the world of video games was changed forever. It does not diminish any of that. But you've all got, I could point to 1,000 studies about what nostalgia actually is in the human brain. And you have got a very weird picture of that. Now, some of these, that being said, some of these people in that community would say, Scott, that's not why we love it. It's this reason or that reason or this reason. There's a million other reasons, and I don't want to blanket this or black and white paint it, because obviously it means something different to everybody. But that's kind of my point. Like, it's not just about those raids. If you guys remember, we got Molten Core back, and we all wanted to pull our eyes out and eat them. It was awful. It was a bad experience.
But the thing is, that's true for most of us, but there is a community of people who were just playing on Nostalrius and playing all the time every day.
Right.
And it wasn't rose-colored glasses to them. They literally liked that version of the game better, and they wanted to play it. But the funny thing is what they're doing is essentially, you know, the vanilla portion of the game. So there's no, you know, once you've gotten, like, all your gear, there's no more raids coming out. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to the end of Nax. Okay, cool. Man, that's it. Like, yeah. There's nothing else coming out. But that's still what they want. They'd rather just grind another character and do the same thing again. But so those people exist that it's not rose-colored glasses at all. For most of us, we remember it fondly. We'd actually log in and do it, and we'd be like, oh, my God, no. But there is this subsection that is very, very passionate about this particular version of the game, and that's what they want. And pristine servers are not going to make them happy.
Yeah.
They're a step in the right direction, or at least Blizzard acknowledging this. And that would be something that some portion of the player base would want, but that's not really what these people want.
Sure.
These people literally want to go back to the exact same systems, everything the same.
Well, this is
and
my...
I will acknowledge that the game right now, and I talked about this, me and Patrick had the whole back and forth a few... maybe it was like even a month ago at this point, but...
Yeah.
Where the problem that I see with the game isn't necessarily all the new content and new systems. It's a couple of things like queuing and stuff like that, and maybe flying, and the things that make you never leave your garrison or Orgrimmar. Those are the problems that are actually systemic real problems.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm so on the same page with you. The world feels so small now.
Yeah.
And it, like to me, like, I was really excited when we got dungeon queues when they originally came out. I'm like, oh man, this is so convenient. Dungeon running was my favorite thing, but I feel something has been lost from the social aspect of what an MMO is. You know, we've lost them massively in that acronym.
Mm-hmm. And we don't get it the same way everyone else gets it, because we're an AIE.
Yeah, so it's different. We have a constant group.
We don't understand necessarily that feeling of, oh my God, everyone is gone.
Yeah.
Where are the people now?
But
log in and there's a giant green wall of people talking all day long and all night long about anything and everything, and we still meet up and do things with each other. And that's a special situation. Everyone can be a part of it, but, you know, everyone's not.
Yeah, and they had what they had at Nostralis is they had that kind of thing. They had built a community that was meaningful in all of those same ways. And it kind of goes back to my entire point. I do not deny that there isn't at least in their case, 100+ thousand people who want that experience. Clearly, there are people who want them, but there is this percentage problem where it's a very small percentage. So for Blizzard to fully support it means throwing a lot of resources towards something that has no real payback for them in the large scheme of things. And they have shareholders to appease, and they have a larger business model to appease, and all those things matter to them as a business. So they can't just throw everything at it like that. At the same time, can they just make exceptions and say, well, Nostralis, you guys are cool. You go ahead and run your private thing, and we'll take you at your word that you're not going to mess around with something or screw something up or fiddle with our IP in ways that you say here at this table you won't. Like, they just can't. That's a legal mistake for them to make, even if they are as genuine as ever over there. Even if everything they promise is from the heart, that kind of handshake deal doesn't exist in corporate world today. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know why people are so vitriolic and shocked that Blizzard has to take a stance like this. What they should be shocked about is that Blizzard not only has to take a stance like this, but then are still willing to meet with them, to talk to us, to discuss it, to have internal meetings, to talk to higher-ups, and to have these conversations. Like, this idea that they're just sitting around going, these chuckleheads with vanilla again. What are we going to do now to put them off or tell them to go away? Like, that's not how they operate up there.
Yeah. No, so. they never really have. But the funny thing is the argument that I was seeing over and over and over again was that somehow these classic servers would save World of Warcraft. I kept seeing this argument in all these videos where they would say, you know, we've got all these petitions signed. And even some of the really level-headed ones, you know. We got we've got all these signatures on our petitions. All these streamers say they're going to play, and if you bring this back, oh man, all those people are all going to subscribe again, and they'll save World of Warcraft. And it's 200,000 people or whatever signed this petition, and it's, you know, I don't know, a handful of streamers who are very popular. Soda Poppin has been very vocal about how he wants this stuff back, and he's like the top WoW streamer, but that's not saving World of Warcraft. Like, I don't understand why they don't see that there's still millions and millions of people playing the game, and a few hundred thousand more people doesn't suddenly boost you back to Wrath numbers. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So they need to make their argument more level-headed and more rational, and it will come through. I'm telling you. I'm not disagreeing with these people in any way about their want for these servers and their want for this game to be this style again. And a small off server that does it well, would be awesome.
Yeah.
It would be great.
I'm still convinced
Blizzard has to look at the bottom line.
And I'm convinced Blizzard wants in the long run, we talked about this last week, Garrett, a little bit. In the long run, they want to have their games preserved. They're not interested in making a game, having it play through, and then throwing it away. They've brought classic games back. They have entire jobs at Blizzard now that are all about maintaining and curating that sort of thing. There's no reason in my mind that Blizzard couldn't view WoW and its incarnations in the same window. It may not be today, it may not be in 5 years, but at some point, they're interested in preserving their game as much as we are.
Yeah. And Blizzard would never want to half-ass this, too.
Right.
That's the thing.
And I think what it is it's you know, they said it in their response. It's a lot of work. They're going to have to dedicate a lot of resources. I'm sure if this was something that they were thinking of when, you know, World of Warcraft launched, and they were like, no, we should preserve every previous version of this for archival purposes.
Sure.
It probably would have been a little easier going forward. But the fact is, it probably would be a huge undertaking at this point to do it and do it right and do it to the Blizzard level of quality that we have all come to
expect. The other thing. Exactly. And as you said, they're not going to half-ass it. You can name another company in the video game world who likes to put out games that have any problems with them at all, who won't polish them so shiny that you feel like the alpha you're playing is a released EA game, or better than that even. Like, that's just their mode. You can't tell them to change their corporate model. You can't, and not corporate model, their whole motto is around make that thing so good that we're not releasing it if it's not. We'll cancel multi-million dollar projects before we release them. That's the company you're asking to half-ass this or to just throw an old build out into the wild and let it go? Like it's like asking, I don't know, it's like asking I don't know, I can't think of a good comparison. It's like asking a cat to jump in the lake. It's not going to do it. That's not where they go. That's not where they spend their time. So it's not, that is not, that part is just impractical to me. And you can say all you want about, oh, well, then they need to change their culture. Well, all right, take a 25-year-old company who's found the utmost success in what they do and tell them to rearrange their core valued thinking just so you can have vanilla WoW is a really weird thing to ask.
Yeah.
So
I want to address someone in the chat just said, why would you argue against this because it doesn't save World of Warcraft? I'm not arguing that it won't save World of Warcraft, but first of all, World of Warcraft doesn't need saving. It's actually doing better than any other MMO still to this day. Yeah. And the other thing that I'm saying is all these people are treating it as a certainty that it will bring back millions of subscribers. It's like this argument is just like cut in stone. Just we know exactly what this is going to do. It is going to bring back all these people. We don't know that. We do not know that. Stop using that as a fact that you are citing. That is your opinion. That is your wish. That is your hope.
Yeah.
Treat it as that, and I will listen to you. The moment you just start pulling facts out of the air, I just stop listening. I just turn around. I go, yeah, okay, we don't know that, dude.
We don't know
that's what you think might happen. You can't say, oh, it will definitely do this. You cannot say that.
You also
people might come back, play it, and be like, oh my God, this is even worse. I'm out of here completely.
If anyone had sure knowledge that it would, and by the way, no one's ever defining save World of Warcraft. Does that mean get it back to 12 million? Okay, let's assume that's the bar. They think that that saying save World of Warcraft means 12 million subscribers again. All right, so now that we have that fake truth that I pulled out of the air too,
sure.
Let's say that that's the goal. If anyone on this planet would know whether that was possible, probable, or reachable, it's Blizzard that would know it, not some schlub who loves vanilla WoW sitting in his basement like me. I'm not going to know. How the hell would I know? I have nothing to base that on except that I love it. So if I love it, that isn't a reason for a giant company to make a huge decision like this. And they don't have those aren't raw numbers. Those aren't leading indicators. Those aren't market shifts. That's a guy who wants a thing. So,
yeah, and that is how you should be making your argument, though, too. You should be like, I want this. I'm one of the people who want this. I put my name on a petition. This is the number of people who want this. That's what they should be saying. And instead they're saying, it's going to do this. It's going to do that. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone gets whatever. You know, it's just like
I wouldn't necessarily focus on that aspect because you're focusing on the worst of a community. And if you do that with anything, you're going to land on insane stuff like
that. Well, the best of them are all meeting privately with Blizzard next week. And I'm so glad that that exists. And I'm so glad that that's even happening. And I want to make this one point really clear. And Dill said it. I'll just reinforce it. On the show, we support this idea 100%. How you get there, I don't know. But we support the idea that the thing you love can be a thing you can have. Nobody's denying anybody that, I don't think. I mean, you can say that Blizzard's denying it to you, but, you know, it's a little more complicated than that. But we're not taking the side of Blizzard on this. I don't think it's that cut and dry. I think there's a lot of complicated things in this, and these latest developments and Brack's response services that notion that this is more complicated and more nuanced than just a simple yes or no. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're going to, because we're going to get emails about this, we're going to get calls about it, and that's great, happy to field them, but don't just be pissed and say we're in Blizzard's back pocket, because that's where we're all I'm trying to do is say, and I think Dills is saying this, and I think you're saying this as well, Garrett, that it's a little more complicated than that, and if you've got whatever your thing is, whatever your desire is, talk about that desire, push for it as hard as you can, but saying things like it's going to save World of Warcraft is such a weird thing to say. It's such a weird, non-defined, giant, weird, nebulous cloud of weird to me to even say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't say that.
No, I am a huge advocate for it, if for no other reason than to preserve something that was really important to me.
Yep.
And that's where I kind of end that point. Well, I probably wouldn't play it a lot, but I still want the option there. I want it preserved. This needs
to be
an option. It needs to be. I need to be able to have that option to go and re-experience these old things. Because I can plug back in my Super Nintendo. I can play Super Mario World. I cannot easily, legally go back and play Vanilla WoW.
You know, it's a bit like you two angry chickens. It's a bit like wild mode in a way, you know, like what if they gave you a server that just said, or a set of servers or whatever, that just said, all bets are off in here. You can basically choose a slider and slide it all the way from vanilla up to current content. And it's just a giant sandbox and nothing counts. And it's a little buggy and, you know, whatever. You could do that.
Yeah, and that's if you go back to Jalen Brack's comments, that's that perfect scenario. That is, if we could push a button and have just a perfect answer materialize, I think that's what it is. Because where do you draw the line? What about after you get your vanilla server, what about all the BC heads? What about people like me who are like, Lich King was the best it's ever been. I want a Lich King server. Yeah. I mean, at some point, and that's what it is. And that's, I don't know. I'm just reiterating what we've already said, which is it's a very complicated matter. It's not as cut and dry as some people, some streamers, some YouTubers are making it seem. And there's so many things to factor in to see if you're Blizzard, to figure out where you're allocating your money, where you're allocating your team members, what you're putting effort and time into.
I can't think of anything else, but I want a Lich King server now. So thanks for that. That's all I want.
You're welcome.
I'm going to demand it. I'm going to say it's going to save WoW, and I'm going to get signatures. You watch.
Let's start a petition.
Lich King all the way. There was a patch toward the end of that that I hated. The one with the dragon.
Yeah, pre Ruby Sanctum.
Yeah, that was lame. Was it Ruby Sanctum?
Ruby Sanctum. That was the worst.
Was it the one I'm thinking of? Yeah. Yeah, that was terrible.
It was the final. You know what's worse than that, though? Not getting any content for over a year.
Yeah, well, that's true. I would take, at this point, I would take a Ruby Sanctum right now just to go in there and do something. But I encourage everybody to go to this forum and just read through some of the comments, and you'll see like why. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, you know, and Garrett, you made the point, speaking to like the worst portion of this crowd, you know, is maybe a waste of time, but it's a very, very, I can't tell if it's the minority or majority right now because of how much like literal just toxicity is coming out of the people who are saying that they want the servers. And the people who are part of that community, if you're listening to this show, I encourage you to please tell the people that are on your side to settle the F down and start just having a conversation, because all of it is just accusations, baseless, just facts that they're spouting out of nowhere as if they understand completely how Blizzard servers work 100% in and out. Guys, you need to rephrase your argument and you'll get many more people on your side. Yeah. Many, many more people will be on your side, but it's like they're alienating people.
Yeah.
And it's bad. So you guys can get what you want much easier if you just do it right, please. Yeah.
Because you're not.
Because, I said, like Gary said, we're advocates here. We want this to happen. Absolutely.
Yep.
We understand the nuance that's behind things like this, though.
Yep.
And you should too. And make better arguments. It'll happen.
I want that alpha server I was on back in 03 where talents were a thing you had to. It was weird. Talents were super weird in the alpha. They were nothing like they turned into. So
I want that that old female troll model back.
See, here's the thing, though. That's everybody might have their moment in time that they want, and then that's the problem too. It's like you can't please everybody, right? Because you know what I want? I want my old 5021 hunter build back when I was just doing Bestial Wrath twice in a row. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want that specific moment back.
I want
weapon. So give me that. You give the other guy when paladins were super OP for a moment. You give the other, you know what I mean?
I was about to say.
Yeah.
can I have the I think was it the patch just before Lich King at the end of Burning Crusade where Retribution paladins and PvP became an unstoppable killing machine? Give me that. Thank you.
They're just one-shotting people left and right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like everyone's going to want their moment back. Some people want vanilla. Some people want PC, some people want Wrath, you know. It's just it gets a little bit convoluted. So
yeah,
for me
I'm happy just to fly down to those places and go, oh yeah, I love this place when it was, you know, and then I'll go back to do whatever I gotta do. It's fine. It's fine. Let's get to this. We got some movie details about the movie. The Warcraft movie came out of PAX, and director and some actors all sat down, and Duncan Jones laid out a lot of details. I captured out some of the more, I think, prescient ones that matter more to our discussion. Ben Foster was interested in spell casting. This is the actor Ben Foster. You know him from 310 to Yuma and freaking Angel and the terrible X-Men movie and some other stuff. He's great. Great actor. Said he was very interested in spell casting, and the team came up with visual and audio language for spell casting. Was really committed to getting all the details right. They're very curious about how that stuff will be portrayed, if they're trying to make it game-like or if they're just making it cool. I don't know what that means.
I hope they are, because it's going to be really disappointing for the core fan base if it doesn't feel like Warcraft, you know? Yeah.
I hope a channeling bar appears at the bottom of the screen.
I want it to be like vanilla, so it's a little jerky.
I wanted to also show like how much lag I have currently, so I know.
A little red bar to represent your ping. Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, yeah, will this movie have add-ons? That's what we want to know.
The UI of this movie.
Yeah.
I need a sexy map. I need sexy map on here. Thank you. Yeah.
How much damage I'm doing compared to the rest of the people in the theater, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I want when a guy gets hit with a fireball, I want a big glowy number to just slowly rise above.
I want a visual indication of crits.
This sounds great. I'm all in on everything we're talking about here.
See, someone will do this, though, when the movie actually comes out. And
you know it.
Someone will take the movie and then put UI stuff on top of it. It'll be sweet.
I'd be shocked if that isn't in one of the trailer rehashes already. So yes.
I want to see the guy that treats it like his bad PvP highlight with some cheesy metal music in the background, and then you do the slowdown when the crit pops up.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I want that.
All right. I don't think it's a sequel. You got to wait for the sequel. There's a month-long orc camp where all the actors were sent, and they learned how to move like 7-foot-tall, 600-pound orcs. So they actually went all in on that. It's kind of like when they do a military movie and everybody goes off and does kind of a version of basic training, except these guys had to pretend to be orcs for a whole month. Let's see.
Awesome.
Took several weeks after shooting to get the first Orgrim shot with effects. Up until then, the team was very nervous about how orcs were going to look. So they ended up working with the dude at ILM who did all of the Hulk stuff for the first Avengers movie. I don't know the second one. And that's some impressive Hulk. So...
That makes a lot of sense.
It's good news, right? Like, big hulky dude. Looks like...
We all saw it was two BlizzCons ago, the test shot, or the test scene, right? No, it wasn't Ogrim. It was...
Durotan?
Durotan.
Yeah.
Durotan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked a lot about how I think all of us are a little trepidatious because it looks pretty CG happy.
Yeah.
But those close-up shots where you're really seeing, like, the emotion and the facial expressions coming through on those orcs. I mean, it's damn impressive.
Yeah. So if you liked the way the Hulk was handled in that or those Avengers movies, you're probably going to be happy here. They're not going to be rage filled beasts who don't talk, but it'll, or don't yell smash or whatever the Hulk said.
You're right. They'll be rage filled beasts that have conversations.
Yeah, exactly. They're worried about their family, that sort of thing. Let's see. The person that came up with orc language for the movie is also the person who does languages for Game of Thrones. Happens to be a Warcraft player, which is kind of nice. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the other connection is the music's being done by the Game of Thrones score writer guy. And apparently, this is good news for fans of Russell Brower and all his people at Blizzard. Even though they didn't do the music directly for the film, I guess the score incorporates very familiar riffs from historically popular Warcraft music. So that's good.
Exactly what I was hoping to hear, especially after a discussion last week of the robot sex soundtrack that the current trailer has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the trailers are making me real nervous, man. I do not like, you know, you just don't want to hear Smack My Bitch Up while while watching Warcraft characters fight. I just don't want
it. I agree. We talked about it last week and hated on that. We do not like the use of it. I like that music all by itself, but I don't like it in my Warcraft movie. The International Trader
trying
is better.
To appeal to non-Warcraft players.
It's
and then
really
get...
good yeah. in The Matrix, yeah, and that's because sure. it fits.
Yeah. It's all about fitting. And I know a lot of other trailers are doing this, so I don't want to be too critical of it because they're all doing it now. A lot of them are, even the ones that don't fit. But it's a poor choice. The International Trailer was much easier to take. Sure. It was much more
By the way, I'm a little surprised at some of the stuff where it says, you know, they're working on orc language for the movie. And I'm like, did we not already have orc language?
Well,
did they not already have a lot of this stuff nailed down?
I think,
or are they just now going like, oh, we don't know what orc language sounds like?
I think all we ever have was Loktar Ogar and, you know,
there was other stuff in there, but I mean, sure, it's not a huge wealth of stuff, but how much orc language is going to be in the movie?
Well, I hope it's all just garbled language like when you're in a PvP zone and one of the other faction talks and it just looks like garbage. That'd be really good.
It might be a good way to set apart the different orc tribes. Like maybe our lead, like Durotan and his orcs, speak English, but maybe, you know, other orc tribes speak orcish and we're dealing with subtitles or something just to you know, set them apart in an audio.
I just
fashion.
Hope it feels World of Warcrafty because no one ever talked orc to me and I was supposed to understand in the game
if
either.
If I don't hear an elf tell me Ishnu Allah, I will be let down.
Well, there aren't night elves in this, right? They're the high elves or whatever.
They're seen like for half a second in one of the trailers.
So I don't know what they talk like, if they're any different or not, if the old language.
And they're in Dalaran, and Dalaran's already flying. I have so many questions about what's going on. I don't know if it's a flashback, as why is Dalaran already in the air? Or...
Yeah, well, he says this. There are moments when the movie differs from the lore in smaller ways to make it a better movie. That's a quote from Duncan Jones.
It doesn't scare me as much as it probably would have a few years ago.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. I don't care.
I understand the movie can't be exactly one-to-one.
The orcs and humans stuff, for all its innovation in the early 90s, was not that great. I mean, story-wise, it was just kind of there. It was like big dudes fighting humans. Here we go. Build the town. Do the stuff. Like, there's nothing really there. So the fact that they're having to expand on that and incorporate a lot of the stuff we know from World of Warcraft is I think I want that. I think, you know, I mean,
you guys saw the photo that the director tweeted out of the Alliance mailbox.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm like, that's that instills a lot of faith in me. I'm so happy that that's a thing.
You know what it would have been? What would have been better?
At some point,
though?
Someone needs to dance on top of it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, a dancing naked gnome on there would be great.
That's your post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
Just in the background or something. Just a little nod. We just need stuff like that.
You think we're going to see like a gnome at all? Like, just walking around someplace, like in the background or something in this movie. Do you think we're going to get any cameo?
Be surprised if the answer is no, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the answer was yes. I think it's you can go either way, because we're talking about all these funny references, and wouldn't it be cool if, but at the same point, too, don't we kind of just want a good dramatic movie? Do we need it?
We don't want constant, the constant Easter eggs is that's for Easter. You know, I don't want it all up in my movie constantly, but you know, I also like the idea that there's a grand tradition with Blizzard and now Legendary of never showing a gnome doing anything outside the game. And I kind of like that they would keep that alive and never show a gnome. So take that, gnomes. Let's see. They said, where are we are? Oh, Clancy Brown rides a frost wolf in the movie. So that's cool.
Good.
I'm really excited about that. I guess when they were making the movie, they made a blue rocking horse for him for the capture stuff. And, pulled that, like, had crew members pulling him through the scene on this thing, which sounds rad. I can't wait for the extra features on the DVD. Let's see. He recognized that human heroes versus orc villains was not the right way to do the movie. That's why we have a much more sympathetic sort of orc side. That original game was just, you know, the orcs were just the villains straight up. They were like Zerg.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah. They're like Zerg.
But that has changed over time.
Sure.
Right. They kind of retconned it.
Yeah, which is fine. That's fine.
In a good way. It makes the story way more interesting.
Let's see. If this movie does well, Duncan Jones gets to do the sequel. That's part of the deal. And he says if he does, he'll put a Torin in the sequel. So,
oh, there's no Torn in this?
It's like, it sounds like a Kickstarter reward or something. It's like, if we get to the next level, we'll put a Torn in it. So there you go, Garrett. No Torn in this first movie. Sorry. No Torn.
I mean, that's
no
fine
trolls.
As long as that's part of the, like, the storyline is just doesn't really get there.
Yeah.
Well, but what I got from this is they don't have plans to do a sequel yet.
No, yeah, that's my. I think they're waiting to see how the movie does. Yeah, that's exactly right. They say
if it does well,
if it's okay, they say they'll do Illidan, Arthas, and any other stories they feel like if the movies do well. So lots of ifs.
I just want them to do three, no matter what. They'll all tank. We'll ever do three. Like we'll all buy the DVD.
It says here there are only a few scenes in the movie where orcs and humans are in the same scene. That's weird to me. Isn't that weird? I mean, maybe the battle scenes don't count. But it seems strange that they're seeing. I mean, do they mean that there weren't real people there when it was filmed, or do they mean in the context of the story there aren't orcs and humans hanging out?
I mean, honestly, from the trailers, it looks like there's a bit of a mystery to the orcs, because there was that first trailer where you see a glimpse of an orc attacking a human, and then they cut to the scene where a scout is explaining what happened to a group of you know, humans.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where, like, it takes till, you know, the third act where we finally really see the humans and orcs interacting.
Well, hello, fellow party people. Let's take a minute to talk about a new sponsor to the show, SeatGeek. Talked about it at the top a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit more. You ever been frustrated by trying to buy tickets online? I know I have. My daughters are so into concerts right now. It's a huge pain in the butt. Most sites are way too complicated, and they try to sneak in these huge fees at checkout. That's why you guys need to try SeatGeek. Made it easier than ever for me and you to buy and sell sports tickets, concert tickets, and so on. It's the only place I ever go for tickets now. I have the app on my phone. You just got to go download it. So go get that. And then let them take all the hassle and work out of shopping for tickets. And pull all the tickets available from other sites into one place. You save time and never miss a deal that would ever come across your table. You can even set alerts for upcoming games. And SeatGeek will let you know when the tickets, fall in price. That seems amazing to me. Always an upfront about the price. No hidden fees. Not trying to sneak something in there. I want to make you guys a deal, though. How about an extra $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase? That's SeatGeek, by the way. SeatGeek. SeatGeek. And here's what you'll have to do. Download the free app. It's totally free. Get it on your phone. Then go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. When you do that, add the code INSTANCE. One word, INSTANCE. That'll get you $20 off your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code INSTANCE today and get that $20. SeatGeek. They're amazing and you guys should check them out. Thanks, SeatGeek. Alright, let's talk about Heroes of the Storm for a second. Tracer's out for everybody, not just the people who pre-ordered Overwatch, so that's good. And I've been talking to some people. I really like her, by the way. I think she's great. A lot of people say she's kind of a one-trick pony, that she just sort of blinks around and is annoying, and that is there's not a huge... I mean, they always talk about what a high skill cap she has, but really her ability to get out of trouble is making her too easy to play. I'm curious if you guys have a take on the first couple of weeks of Tracer. I think she's great.
I really hasn't changed since last week. I think she's a fantastic player character to play, and I'm super impressed with how they translated her from Overwatch into Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think she's one of the most annoying characters to play against.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's frustrating as hell.
However, Kyle and I chogalled it up last night.
Uh-oh.
I was Cho. I took Twilight Hammer, which, you know, shoves people back. And there's no feeling, gentlemen, greater in this world than getting on the opposite side of a Tracer and just, you know, smacking her into your entire team. Just,
oh, yeah.
Just flying her back into your team and her just exploding.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I want to say Brightwing's pretty good against her, or has some pretty nice deterrence.
Polymorph is very strong against Tracer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great with her. I'll tell you who's bad against her. Jaina, just worthless.
Murky is terrible. Yeah,
can't do anything with her.
Had a tough time with Murky.
It's the first time
we did win.
It's the first time in the game where I really am feeling that divide though between who can handle her and who can't. You know, like it just feels very. Oh, it's like unless you've got so-and-so or whatever on your team, she's just going to annoy the living shit out of you. But there are those moments, dude, where Stitches will hook her. Oh, and it's like impossible to hit that, right? Like she almost has to like blink into the hook to get it right. And when it happens, like I feel like the whole team erupts in joy and we don't even care if we win at that point. She's great, though.
Pretty amazing.
I like her. She fits well in the game. The intro's cool. The music's amazing. Tracer, everybody. Catcher. All right, let's talk about Old Gods and Hearthstone. That happened. This is the week. You guys have already had an angry chicken about it. You don't have to go into that level of detail, obviously, because I'd rather send people to the show to listen to it. But
you don't want to stick around for another 2.5 hours?
Yeah. I mean, it's
2.5 hour segment.
This is a big deal. I'll tell you my first impression, because I haven't had a lot of time to be in it, but I want to at least give some props to that team for something I thought was really good. When I got in for the first time in any of the expansions or any of the major patches, it was really good about telling me what had changed. And it didn't feel too tutorial-y, but also at the same time, it was enlightening because I didn't know some of that stuff was going to happen. Like, it never occurred to me that all my existing decks that I liked were going to get dinged in Standard, and I needed to convert them and put cards in the place of the ones that were going away. And
yeah, that's the thing that I was probably the most pleasantly surprised by, was the deck builder. You can open up your decks, which probably, in most cases, are all now wild if you've had them around for a little while. Yeah. And you can go in and hit a button that says convert to Standard, and it grays out the cards that are in there that are not Standard legal and basically points them and says, these are what you need to replace. And I thought that was incredibly clever and something I didn't feel that they had to do, but clearly a lot of effort went into it. And I think it's great for returning players. I feel like if I wasn't doing a show about Hearthstone, I would probably really appreciate that information.
Oh, yeah. Look, I got in thinking I was going to have to go do a bunch of deck building. And instead, I was in and out of there very quickly with a couple of quick replacements, and I was playing a game quicker. Like, they really got people through that without much work, and you didn't have to go manually do a bunch of things. And it was just nice, the tavern dude walking you through stuff, telling you what this is, what that is, real quick looks at what changed. And bam, seemed like a better experience overall. Very easy now to know how to switch between wild and standard. And if they hadn't shown me, I wouldn't know what that dumb icon was.
Yeah, it actually forces you to click it too. So you physically see where the button is, because it isn't, it isn't obvious, but it's where it's supposed to be, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff, like you said, is very much a walks you through right away. It tells you all the cards that were changed, because there's a whole bunch of them all at once. The UI changes and the addition of all of these options where you click over it and you can change it back and forth between Standard and Wild is really all really important and done the right way, I think.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, for a player like you, Scott, did you buy the pre-order packs, or what was your?
So I didn't did do. I haven't bought anything yet. Okay. Mainly because I just haven't gotten around to doing anything. But so I haven't even gotten the Old Gods expansion yet.
Because by logging in, though, you will get 3 packs.
Yeah, I did get those.
Okay.
So
and then
I got
you win 2 games, you will get 5 more packs.
Right.
And then you win 7 more games, and you will get 5 more packs.
Yeah.
So there's 13 free packs just sitting there if you want them.
How did they, they've never done that before. Like, that's awesome.
Not this amount.
Yeah.
No, not that amount. They've given free
GBG
packs just for logging in.
Got 3 packs or something, right? And then.
Yeah, just for logging in.
So is it just to get people playing? Obviously, that's one motivation.
Yeah,
it's to give
you a head start so that you can then decide, oh, I really like these cards. Maybe I'll need to buy some more it's just to get you your foot in the door. I have 2 free-to-play accounts, and I went through those and got the free packs on those too. And the true free-to-play account, the one that I have on the Asian servers, it was definitely a much more difficult experience. Because I had to make a very specific deck, a zoo deck that's not really that great. But it was doable, and at rank 25, you can totally, you're playing other people who don't have a lot of cards either. And then it was really cool how the Old Gods cards, you would earn some packs, and you go open them, and then immediately some of those cards were good and went into your deck.
Nice.
I like that, the whole way that it kind of rolls out like that. Like, oh, here's 3 packs. Want to play a little bit? We'll give you some more. And it just incentivizes you to go out and actually do some games, no matter what your collection looks like. And then once you get that, it's like, well, here's even more. And they're teasing you, like, you can get some more packs.
Yeah.
So, just that whole thing was awesome, because it just felt like, okay, I can actually get a head start here before I really decide whether I want to jump into this or not.
Deck recipes have been, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I don't remember them saying when you're given these kind of pre-built deck recipes that you can build decks out of. I don't remember it saying down at the bottom that you have so many cards out of so many that you'll need to make this recipe. Is that new? Because that's great.
I think they always did, but they changed a bunch of recipes now. And now if you have like less than a certain amount, it's a grayed out recipe. Mm. It doesn't even, you can't even really do it.
Right.
But when you, so I clicked through a bunch because I did this on those free-to-play accounts too. I was like, well, which one of these recipes do I actually have the cards for?
Yeah.
And ended up playing a Malygos Rogue deck because I actually had Malygos. And it worked, and I won a bunch of games. It was great.
That's awesome. I love that part. Anything, Garrett, about the expansion that you, I don't know, don't like? It's pretty unanimous praise. Everyone loves the thing, so
it's really good. They did a fantastic job.
Garrett doesn't like Yogg-Saron.
Yeah, I don't like Yogg-Saron. it's the most elaborate coin flip in the world. Either it's really bad for your opponent, or it's really bad for you. And either way, it just feels like, well, there was nothing that could have been done.
Yeah. For the record, we all hated Yogg-Saron before, and just from the lore perspective, he's kind of a dick.
Yogg-Saron, though. I mean, he is doing what Yogg-Saron did in World of Warcraft.
It's a brilliant design. Random stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna design Yogg-Saron, that's a really, really clever way to design him. Yeah. Just overall, I mean, it's just growing pains of a new expansion. I'm losing a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of the when C'thun or Yogg-Saron come down, it definitely feels like nothing really could have been done. And a lot of times, even if you survive C'thun, for example, and then you have an answer for C'thun, damage has already been done. Chances are the board has been cleared and so much damage has been done to you that it's very, very difficult to come back. But again, I think it's just growing pains. I think eventually we're going to figure this out. I think there's going to be a new premium on healing in Hearthstone. Previously, it hasn't honestly been all that important. I mean, Anti-Keelbot was a huge, very impactful card, but it was just because it was such high value for what you were getting. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot more healing make it into decks with the advent of freaking C'thun.
Well, it's great. If you don't follow the game very closely, it was also really nice to log in and say and have it go, oh, by the way, here are all the classic cards that are changing. Here are the new numbers absolutely. And why.
I mean,
we've been,
I think, really critical about Hearthstone's, like, their launch hype and how they handle their launch events on the Angry Chicken. And I do think, without a doubt, by a landslide victory, that this is the most impressive, the best launch of any new content they've ever done with Hearthstone.
Wow. That's high praise, man.
Good. So one thing I'm going to say, though, Yogg-Saron may be an elaborate coin flip, but he's such a cool card because I had a game the other day where I was playing against a rogue, and I was playing as a warrior, and we got to the end, and he was out of cards. He had one card left, right? And I was at 25 health or something. I was like, wow, there's no way this guy can ever win this game from here. He's completely out of damage. And then he played Yogg-Saron, and it cast like 18 spells or something. Some of those being, like, I think he got a Burgle or something like that at some point, and he won that game from fatigue, having no cards left. And it was one of the most awesome things as a losing player to watch, because it was just like, you know, all this crazy stuff went down. It cast a quality on his own minions, and then it killed a bunch of them, then it made more minions, and I don't know, it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. So like, I love that there's stuff like that in the game now, because I always wanted I didn't like that the game was all about how fast could I make my deck, how can I make the faster deck than you. Now we've got decks where the bombs are bombs, man. Yeah. Like, when Yogg comes down, that's a bomb. You win now. When C'thun comes down, it's a bomb. You win now. That didn't really exist in the game before. And so they've really kind of changed fundamentally how Hearthstone is played in a huge way. And no other expansion has done that. And that, to me, is the most exciting thing. Because before, we talked about this on the Chicken, before, content would come out and then you just plug it into your existing archetypes, right? Yeah. So it's like, oh, well, now I can put that card into my Freeze Mage. Cool. Thanks.
Now I can summon 2/1/1 treants at the beginning of my game as a druid, and as nothing druid, else has changed.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that was the way Hearthstone was working. And now with Standard and everything, it's just flipped the whole damn thing. And like Garrett was saying, at first I was just losing like crazy. Yeah. But it was just taking me a while to kind of wrap my head around this new landscape. And now I've made some decks that I think are really, really good. And none of it is net decked, but just me tinkering and figuring stuff out. And that process has been super fun. Last night, I was up until about 4 a.m. not streaming, just playing and tinkering and doing stuff like that because I was just wanted to.
That's great.
Yeah. And that, you know, Hearthstone needs to feel that way every, you know, few months for it to really keep this momentum, you know?
I agree.
So, it feels good, Team 5.
Yeah.
It feels so fresh. So insanely fresh.
Good. We have some freshness in the way of Diablo today. Season 6 starts tonight. All points signed to the Demon Hunter being the class to pay to make this time around. His or her set that you get at the end as a given by doing the season is supposed to be unbelievable. And all the guys who theory craft the hell out of this game every season are saying the Demon Hunter is the way to go this time. I, however, in usual fashion, I'm not in the mood for Demon Hunter. We'll probably go Wizard again or something. Anyway, I like these seasons. I'm excited. I'll be playing that. You guys gonna dip in? What do you think?
I have to find that non-combat cow pet.
Yeah, dude.
I need it.
Those bastards. They keep putting these things in there and just like, oh, I gotta have that thing. I gotta get that thing. More things to have. That game.
I always love an excuse to get back into Diablo. And I love the seasons because it just has this social effect where it's like, oh, all my friends are playing Diablo again. Cool. I'll get in.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be doing some of that tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. It differs on time when people get it. I think it's 6 my time or something, which would be 8 Eastern.
8 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 Eastern right. If it's 6 for you.
I think that's right.
Which is 5 Pacific. So,
it might be 6. Now I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll have to look it up. I meant to put that in here. Finally, before we get to some emails and calls, Overwatch's open beta starts very soon. Then you get the early access thing, which is a lot like a beta, and then you get the game. I'm convinced that even though this seems a little weird and confusing, that they're going full open beta and then early access and then the final game, is this is one more unofficial load testing, don't want to have any server problems at launch kind of move. And
well, you get early access to the open beta.
Correct.
If you pre-ordered, your open beta starts 2 days before everyone else.
Correct. So you'll get access. Yes. But it's a little weird in that they have these one weekender things. They have this 9-month thing for a lot of us. And then they have this other weekend that was barely not even a weekend. And now they got like this other weird phase. I think it's all in service of Blizzard never wanting to have a problem at launch. And they don't, they don't want to have a problem here. And I am missing that game. I have withdrawals from it. Get the shakes thinking about what Junkrat could be doing. I need it.
By the way, today is the last day to pre-order it.
Oh, yeah, 29th, right?
Access.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this the day it came out and you haven't pre-ordered yet and you want to get into the beta sooner, now's your chance.
Yeah. Better do it.
Get out there and make it happen. All right.
Also, I think you still get Tracer for free in Heroes if you order the Origins edition.
Yeah, if
it
you
still
do
counts as a pre-order.
You
just
have to do it right now. You'll be okay. Is it Origins edition? I thought you got it with the other one, too. But now I'm confused.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Origins edition only, okay. I think, for if you want Tracer.
And that's the one with the other skins and stuff, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Who doesn't want grass and butterflies on their Bastion? Come on, guys.
I want them. I'm not going to lie. All right. You know what's going to be a little shocking, though, when that game comes out? All of our skins and stuff we earned for, you know, since last fall, gone. We're not going to have any of that stuff. We're going to have no money. We're going to have no skins. It's going to be raw ass. Speaking of vanilla games, we're getting vanilla Overwatch in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to save up and buy my well-played emote all over again.
Indeed.
Or spray. Sorry, my spray.
Yeah. You save all your money for your sprays, dude. All right. Let's do this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
The Town Crier is where we take your emails and phone calls. We'll rip through these real quick as we're going a little bit long. They come to us at 801-471-0462. Leave us voicemails there. We'll play them on the show. Or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. We will start with a call. Comes from this guy about this.
Hello, Instance crew. I'm just wondering, have any of you guys played Overwatch with a controller yet? I was trying to picture if I want to play this on the PS4 or my PC, but I'm just plugging the PS4 controller into the beta now, and it's working pretty well. I know everyone has their own preferences, but it's worth a thought experiment to at least try it out if you haven't already.
You're just going to get your butt handed to you, though. There's nothing wrong with controller control.
In the PC world.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's nothing wrong with a control scheme on a controller. when everyone else has that. But the precision you get with keyboard and mouse will make you everyone's fodder constantly. Like, you can't compete. Yeah.
They also design, there's different design considerations on the console version of Overwatch, and I cannot remember, and I'm sorry, I can't remember where the article was, but they did a big blog about it, about all the different things that went into the console version of Overwatch. So I think it's going to be totally fine. And I have had other buddies who have plugged in their controller as well just to try it out. Mm-hmm. They got their butt handed to them, but they said the game felt fine, felt natural.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And, yeah, it is, I mean, good.
Yeah, no, we're all used to moving around in shooters. It's just the difference between how you can aim with a mouse to how you can aim with a controller with a joystick is so insanely different.
Yeah,
so,
how you spin around, how you get precision, the console likely has.
You have
to
have aim assist in those games, or else it just, you never hit anything.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, so, yeah.
Not,
so
not, I mean, not to mention, I mean, if Blizzard can make a successful version of Diablo work on the console, I think they can make something that makes, you know, we see on consoles more often, which is a first person shooter. I think that's fine.
I'm not worried about them at all. Like, the bases, those two console bases are going to have a great time, and it's going to fit right in their wheelhouse, and it's going to, you know, they're already playing Call of Duty or a million other shooters. That's going to be fine. It's using that whole control scheme. It's going to feel great. But I also plugged a controller into the PC version. It felt great. They've clearly taken the time to make that a good experience. But as soon as I got into a game, you can't win. Now, there'll be some outlier dude, some weirdo on Twitch will show up beating everybody with his controller. That'll happen, and he'll be amazing, and it'll be this great sensation. But he is not your typical player. I guarantee it. He'll be some fluke.
No. Yeah. Do I want to play it with a controller? No.
No.
Do I think it'll play just fine with one when it comes out on console? Yes.
Yes.
But I would go ahead and tell people, if you have any thoughts that you're going to play this game for any long amount of time and you're debating between the two formats, just go PC, because this is where the game will exist and will be played competitively. It's where you will see things like tournaments and open stuff and all that kind of, the PC community is going to be smaller and it's going to be a little bit more fragmented. It's just going to be people who just play by themselves.
Yeah.
So if you're someone who's interested in the community and all that kind of stuff, please buy it on PC. That would be a better choice for you.
Then play with us.
Yep.
We'll be happy to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
I got an email here this is from Paul W., if that is his real name, says this. Maybe you guys have already answered this before, but do you have any other video game movie that you can name that you liked? There's a lot
that
of people
you liked.
But people worried Silent about Hill. Warcraft. Oh, Silent Hill. Interesting. I never saw it. Was good?
It's so deeply disturbing and messed up and disgusting, and I love it.
Wow. It's got Ed Stark.
I never saw the sequel. I heard the sequel was bad, but I really like the first Silent Hill movie.
Okay. I need to finally get around to seeing that. Dills, you think of anything that jumps out?
Oh, man.
It's all pretty shitty. it's all kind of bad.
It's all pretty bad, yeah. Like, even the Prince of Persia movie, which did well and wasn't completely awful, wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I'll say that I really liked The Wizard when I was a little kid, but that's not really a video game movie. It's just a movie about...
It's Fred the Savage ultimate video game movie. Are you kidding me? Yeah. You got the glove in there and the Mario 3. And,
War Games?
Yeah, War Games.
Matthew Broderick? That was great. but actual video game movies? Like, I ironically enjoy Mortal Kombat, but
actually no, the first Mortal Kombat,
yeah, it was not a bad movie. I loved it when I was little. I mean, when it came out, I was like super excited about that movie.
I gotta hand it to him. I think honestly, for that first one, the second one is such a huge pile of trash, it's hysterical, but that first one, I mean, way to take almost nothing and make a pretty damn good movie.
Yeah, for its time, it was all right. It was okay.
Yeah, they invented story for that, essentially, because, you know, the story of Mortal Kombat is loose and somewhat there.
Yeah.
Oh, we got these guys fighting to the death, and it's a tournament of some sort.
Yeah.
But then they actually, you know, gave us the lore behind it and all that, and it was fine.
It's my favorite thing about Man in the High Castle is there's this Japanese actor who's really somber and a very quiet portrayal on that show. It's very, very good. And this was just last season or a year ago that I saw this, or less than a year ago, and realized that's Shang Tsung from the Mortal Kombat movie just about blew my freaking mind.
I love that actor.
Oh, he's great, dude.
He plays such a good villain. Yeah, it's insane.
He's super cool. Anyway, for me, I was actually going to say the Prince of Persia movie. I didn't walk out of there hating that thing.
What about that first Hitman movie? That was okay, right?
I thought it was
all right. I actually watched the last one, now that they've got, you know, several of these or whatever, just because it was on a plane and it was on.
Yeah.
And it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
The character itself is just, you know, you're kind of used to seeing this character now.
Sure.
But it was fine. It's the nice action
little,
was good.
Little throwaway movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're all hoping.
It's a movie you don't care about and never think about again.
Yeah, of course. But what we're all hoping, you know, maybe hope against hope, that Warcraft will break the chain and be something special on its own and stand alone and take it beyond where it is now and do for, you know, I mean, there was a day where if you made a comic book movie, it was going to be shit no matter how hard you tried in the 50s or 60s. We figured it out now. And there will come a time when this medium of video games will translate quite well to movies. It's just, we're not there yet. And I think they hope, and we all hope, that Warcraft maybe breaks the mold. So we'll see.
Yeah, they've got a lot to pull from.
They do.
I think they could do it. They just need to do it right.
Yep. There's a lot riding on this. So June 11th or 10th, whatever it is. Look forward to it. What do you guys think? Oh, there's another email from Sean Cook who says, what do you guys think Blizzard, or do you think Blizzard will ever make an MMO again? Well, Sean, I'm not so sure anymore. I used to kind of think for sure they would, but I don't know it's not even in their control so much as it is, like, what is an MMO anymore? Like who cares? Is The Division the new MMO? Is things like Destiny the new MMO? Are we out of that place where it's this slow, gradual RPG fantasy type experience where it can be a giant juggernaut multi-seller? And why do they need to, if WoW has the biggest numbers and the number is about 5 million and nobody can ever get to that anyway, like, why would they? Titan was a huge failure.
I think
failure.
We all used to think for sure Blizzard would one day make another MMO.
Yeah.
Well, they were working on another one at one point. Yeah. And that's,
but
I mean,
it was just seemed
why.
Like, yeah. It just seemed like a foregone conclusion at one point on this show that, yeah, at some point, this will be the end of you know, World of Warcraft's time, and then the new MMO will come along that Blizzard will make, and they'll be king of the MMO again. Yeah. And I think that was just a lot of people's perception, but the fact is, it's not really that, you know, if Blizzard wanted to make another MMO, they probably would make the most popular one, but do they really want to make another MMO, I think is really the issue here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. I never say never, because given enough time, who knows what happens, but I don't think any time in the relatively near future is that going to happen.
Yeah.
Philosophy as a company has changed so much.
Yeah, it has. And I don't know that the new direction mandates it the way it might have felt like it used to or something. Like, WoW 2 is not a thing I think we'll ever see. Not that I thought we were. I never thought WoW 2 was actually in the cards, but maybe I thought the game would evolve and eventually become a game that was sort of WoW 2.0. A lot of people called Draenor that when it came out. But I get the feeling that they're probably just going to play this game forever and they'll have other experiences to do, but never say never. Like, there are some points where, you know that Overwatch rose from the ashes of Titan. There's nothing that doesn't say that you don't start with this game, this great shooter, and then you don't make other genres in that world. And there's nothing that says that Blizzard couldn't one day figure out a way to make something on the scale of, I don't know, Destiny's a bad example because I don't think Destiny's that great, but Destiny, the other one I mentioned a minute ago, The Division.
These kind of like console, even though Destiny's also on the PC, these kind of backdoor MMOs. It's they're taking a lot. There's a lot of Diablo influence. There's a lot of Guild Wars influence. There's obviously a lot of World of Warcraft influence.
Sure.
They're a lot more approachable, and they deal with smaller, you know, social groups and party sizes and stuff like that. I would love to see Blizzard's take on that.
I would too. I want it in the StarCraft universe. And by the way, before you send your emails, he meant Division on PC, not Destiny. We know. Just you said Destiny.
I
knew what you meant, and I just am stopping a stem of emails who will go,
hey,
actually,
games that are really similar that start with D.
Exactly. But you know, Blizzard could do a really interesting take on that. Set it in the StarCraft universe, revitalize that lore, because RTSs are kind of in the stinker right now. And, you know, like, there's lots they could do. But, yeah, who knows?
I'd love to see the universe of StarCraft from a non-isometric point of view.
Yeah. A lot of people argue, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but like a Skyrim-level single-player-focused experience in the Warcraft world would be really neat. I don't think they'll ever do it, but I would love to play in that world. And, you know,
that is money I would no longer possess if that ever became available.
I would spend it, and I'd spend it in a heartbeat. And I don't mean like, oh, it's WoW offline. I mean, like, you know, beef up those graphics, give us an engine that makes sense for that kind of game. Give us the depth and breadth of a Skyrim Bethesda kind of experience. in an RPG environment, put it in that world, the characters we know and love. Oh man, that's all I'd do. I'd play that for years and make it moddable, like extend the life of that thing. People still doing weird stuff in Skyrim like 5 years later, 6 years later.
Yep. Give me a VR helmet. I'll never leave my home again.
Yeah. I'd be all right. All right. I know. Yeah, actually, that's a good question. Do you guys think Blizzard does anything with VR ever? Think we're ever getting kind of like, I don't know. Feels like everybody's bandwagoning on that. Why not them?
I'm sure we'll get support for their games. I don't think. In the near future, I don't think we're going to see any like specific targeted VR experience from them.
Here's what I expect, and here's what I want. I want Dills on one side with his helmet on. I want me on the other side with my helmet on. And I want out in front of me, because it's turned out this has been like the hit weird genre of VR so far. These are the experiences everyone's raving about, and that's like third-person experiences, whether it's platformers or strategy games or whatever. But I want a table with a three-dimensional Hearthstone board, and I want to be able to lay cards out on this thing, and I want to be able to see a representation of Dills on the other side.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That's what I want.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, like actually pick them up and like grab them and put them like on the other. Like I attack this one. Yeah, you know? It'd be
amazing, wouldn't it? Well, I mean, there are a few of these already out there. You can find, and there's some in development, but you can find card game type battler games or whatever Magic the Gathering style stuff out there. So they exist. I just think it's the perfect application for a game they already have in development. You know, like if they're going to apply VR to something they already make, that's a no-brainer, man. And it would.
But
just...
I want when you play the card, I want them to turn into like the little, you know, Star Wars where they have the chess game with the little moving guys.
Yep.
They turn into the actual characters. It's like I put Leroy down, then he just turns into Leroy.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
I would love that.
And it doesn't look like the Penny arcade art. It's literally a vanilla human model.
Yeah,
from World of Warcraft with the heart tabard.
Yeah, his shitty polygon count and his dumb mustache. That'd be amazing. Anyway, thanks for your feedback, everybody. We love your emails and your calls. You can send those to again 801-471-0462 or email us theinstance@gmail.com. It's going to do it for us. Swing around the table and see what other people are up to. Garrett, why don't you, as our guest, why don't you tell us what's going on with you? Where can people find you? What's up?
Everything I do can be found on amove.tv. That includes the Angry Chicken and Into the Nexus. But folks should definitely check out CreateCon. It's a small convention I'm putting on this July in Orlando, Florida. Come on out and see a live Angry Chicken, live Into the Nexus. Tom Merritt's going to be there, Brian Brushwood, Justin Robert Young, bunch of awesome folks doing a bunch of awesome podcasts. CreateConvention.net for tickets and details.
That sounds all right. Dills, what's going on with you, man?
Check out the stream twitch.tv/WheelieDillsSF. The YouTube channel is also youtube.com/WheelieDillsSF. I'm still dumping video from San Francisco. Got so much. I just filmed the entire time I was there. But so I'll probably do is I'm just gonna throw up a little quick thing today of just some of the gameplay from the launch day. I got some decent games I can throw up in there, and then a short talk about trans people using the bathroom and what I think about that.
All right.
So that'll all be happening, I think, probably today. That kind of stuff will be on my YouTube channel. It's going to be more like just me kind of talking about whatever and then some gameplay. So, nice. You know, people are into that kind of thing. That's where to find it.
All right. That sounds good to me. Patrick's still in Japan. Back on the show soon, though. His 2 months are almost up. Actually, yeah. Wins.
He did spectate a Hearthstone game of mine last night.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so that was cool. I got to say what's up.
It's like 9 o'clock in the morning for him or something. Yeah, so he'll be back on the show soon. Also, Terpster on his way to Scotland today, so we wish him the best. And, of course, Yogg-Saron speed. That's going to do it. Thanks to AGR, alphageekradio.com. You can go there and listen to live shows every time they're on live and archived. It's awesome. If you haven't been checking out AGR, you should. They do a lot of work for my shows and for these guys for the stuff they do. So live showings of a lot of what's going on in A-Move and Frog Pants and DTNS and everywhere else, go to AGR, that's alphageekradio.com today, and check that out. Theinstance.net is our website, @InstanceShow, @ScottJohnson, @WillieDills, @GarrettArt, @_T, and @NotPatrick are all the Twitter accounts. You can also find us on the website, frogpants.com/wow, and the best part about that is there are other shows there, so spend some time looking at stuff that you might like on the Frog Pants Network. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Change of music gets festival organizers in trouble with fans. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Spring is a special time of the year for the Night Elves of Darnassus, and they celebrate the blossoming anew of life with multiple parties, parades, and festivals. One of the most well-known is the Tri-Brancha Theater Festival, held in a living amphitheater carved out of the base of the Great Tree Teldrassil near Rutheran Village. Since the village is also a busy port, tradition holds that the festival kicks off with a brief performance by the men and women who man the elven merchant fleet, in which they give a preview of the places they will visit in the months ahead, a sort of coming attractions, if you will. Tradition also holds that the music accompanying this performance is provided by the Merchant Guild Band, but this year a scheduling conflict left festival organizers scrambling for a replacement. They settled on a new group made up of adolescent druids, perhaps seeking to appeal to a younger audience. However, when the curtain lifted, the druids all changed to bear form and began to play a percussion-heavy piece of music by literally walking, jumping, and hopping on their instruments. The audience was taken aback by the complete mismatch between what was being presented on stage and the musical accompaniment. Many got up and left, complaining that they didn't want to watch the coming attraction sailors while listening to Cub Step.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Fall in, soldiers. This is the Rated Battleground. I'm Winstead, the Battleground Commander, and this is your Tactical Minute. When it comes to queuing into a random battleground, the only thing that they really have in common is the objectives. Though objectives change, the simple fact of the matter is that if you want to win the battleground, you have to pay attention to the objectives. Whether it's capturing a flag or defending a point for resources, understanding and completing objectives is the only way to win. So what does this mean for us soldiers? Stop fighting on the road and stay focused on the objectives. The lure of fighting to be top damage and top heals is tempting, but if the objectives are neglected, then you lose. So communicate, call out incomings, and work as a group to complete objectives and win the day. If you have any questions or comments about this Tactical Minute, feel free to get a hold of me at Winstead84 on Twitter, or come join us at the Rated Battleground Podcast, found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Pod. And now, here are your orders. You are to log in, queue up, and take over that objective, leaving your enemies with nothing to do but to object your victory.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.